Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, praise the Lord, and God bless you. Thank you so much for being here with your hostess, Faith Marie, here on the Stars of Heaven Network 9. And what a blessing it is to be here with you on this beautiful Saturday, the Lord our Sabbath. And I certainly hope that you are enjoying your rest in the Lord. What a blessing it is to be here with you to minister more, declare more of August offering entitled Prune Carnival 2020, The Eight Wonders. And I'm really rested from a brief time of refreshing. And I've been sharing some things on my Facebook posts and Twitter feeds and my social media feeds. But it's nothing like being on air with you. And certainly you joining me here on the Heavy Host broadcast. So, again, welcome. I thank you for being here. And I'm excited to get into this exhortation the Lord gave me for this part of the offering and how divine it is that I am coming to you not only this Sabbath day, but on the 8th day of August, and so it's like 8-8, and that this really speaks to what he gave me, declaring the 8th wonders and celebrating the 8th month. And I wanted to share Psalms 8, which is actually what he gave me for this broadcast as I was praying about what he wanted me to minister and what more he added to what he already gave me to minister. And Psalm 8 was befitting for this part of the offering and celebration. And it also celebrates the universe of God that was in the midst of the firmament and celebrates, again, laughter at this time of rejoicing in Christ Jesus and rejoicing in the holiness and our sanctification, our purity. So I'm going to go quickly and read Psalms 8, which is really a short psalm, but one that I really wanted to share and declare on today's broadcast. And it reads as follows: O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thy enemies, that thou mayest steal the enemy and the avenger. The Psalms goes on to say, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the path of the sea, seas, O Lord. Our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So I wanted to read that because truly, in him giving me this message on today, this declaration, exhortation, entitled Replenishers, the Meek's Dominion, that speaks to that. That truly speaks to that. And I'm really excited to share this with you. And I want to get it all in, as usual, in the 45 minutes that I have. And I'm just excited about what he's saying in this part of the offering, because truly, at this time, where there's we're in the midst of a lot of civil unrest and where there's a lot of spiritual warfare going on, the Lord said that he's yet replenishing, and that means to refresh. And that replenishing, he said, is coming by preservation. And I'm going to get into some scriptures that speaks to that. And the thing that he said to me and give me this is this time, and me coming to you on the Heavenly Host broadcast, is to remind you that we have help, that the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. And we have to really be careful not to get pulled in to the schemes of the enemy and the truth of disobedience and fallen angels and false apostles and false teachers and all those who have who the Lord has stripped the kingdom from, and where the enemy is trying to antagonize and the spirit of Beelzebub, which means lords of the flies, to buffet us and to rail upon us. And as the Word of God says, that the lion is a wrong lion, seeking may devour, and the dragon comes out to make wrath with the bride because he knows his time is short. So in this time, we really have to be mindful that our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mindful of God and pulling down strongholds. And this message that he gave me speaks to that, because as long as we are in the earth realm, as long as we are spiritually alive and alert and aware in the earth realm spiritually, there's going to be something that we wrestle against. And as the Word of God says, and Paul says, it's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual goods in high places, the God of this world. So we have to remember that. This warfare that I know the enemy is always trying to do with the bride of Christ is because we are standing our ground. We're walking in our spiritual authority in love. In love. And that's why so much I thank the Lord for this timely word that where it speaks of the meek dominion. And I'm going to share with you a scripture that was in my spirit before I came on air, because one of the things that we have to remember, anything that we do, is that we have to be spirit-led. And
allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, because we can't do anything in and of ourselves, especially when you're dealing with an invisible enemy who knows he's doomed and his day is coming. The enemy has been defeated, but he's yet need to be destroyed. The Lord said he will destroy the yoke in that day because of the anointing. So we need the anointing to destroy the yoke. But back to what I was saying about the scripture that was ringing in my spirit when I came on air. It comes from Proverbs, the 14th chapter, the 11th through 13th verse, where it says, "The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of the mirth is heaviness." So this continuation of rejoicing in laughter is very important, because the blessing of laughter it speaks to celebration. It speaks of renewing our joy. And the thing about laughter, if that laughter is in heaviness and sorrowfulness and disobedience, it's going to come to naught. And I wanted to read Proverbs, because that's what he gave me about not just the laughter, but a way that seemed right unto a man, but the end of ways thereof are the ways of death. So in this declaration, an exhortation on today's offering, I wanted to just make that clear, that, you know, God gave us all things, and in this eighth day, in the eighth month that celebrates God's holy divine creation in celebration of the new Adam, which is in the persons of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we need to remember that our ways are not his ways, and our thoughts are not his thoughts. As far as the heavens is above the earth, so is his ways above ours. And that if we want to really see the salvation of God in our life, if we want to see the promise of God come to pass in our life, if we want to see the peace of God, hallelujah, that surpasses all understanding, rest, rule, and abide in our life, we must make sure that we are living according to the way, the truth, and the life, which is Jesus. Now, what I'm going to do quickly is get into what he said about preservation. Because in him giving this word about replenishers, he was saying that replenishing, which means refreshing, restoration, comes by preservation. And Psalms 32, the 7th chapter, says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Luke, the 17th chapter, 33rd verse says, "Whosoever shall seek to lose his life, whosoever seeks to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." That's what he was saying about those of us who have really totally surrendered our life to God, to him, by way of Jesus, by way of the death and resurrection, that we cannot be replenishers of the earth unless we have been preserved, and that's very important. I have another scripture I want to read to you quickly, and that's Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 21st to the 23rd verse, where it says, "All things hold fast that which is good, and the God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus." So in these scriptures that he gave me about preserving, he was saying that only those who have truly been preserved by God, only those who have been sealed by God, only those who have been the elect of God, the remnant of God, his true church, can really be the true replenishers, because they have been preserved by him. And we're preserved by the blood of Jesus. We're preserved by his mercy, his grace, and his favor. Which brings me to meekness, because in what is will be ongoing until Christ comes, unless we are peacemakers, as Jesus said, best out of peacemakers, so they should be called children of God, will be warfare, will be something we're faced with, something we're challenged with, and how we respond to it will determine the victory. And everything that's happening in the earth realm and in the heavens, in the second heavens, in the third dimension, is for dominion. And that's why I wanted to read Psalms 8, because Psalms 8 clearly declares that the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof. We're just given the honor to care for the earth and the charge to replenish the earth. We've been given the charge to take care of the earth, and that's based on how we live. That's based on our deeds. And when he gave me the meek's dominion, he said that it will be the meek that will inherit the earth, which is what he gave and spoke in Matthew and given the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So the thing that he was saying to me about inheriting and dominion is given to the meek. Psalms 149:4 says, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, he will beautify the meek with salvation. So meekness is one of God's attributes and one of the fruits of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? All the fruits of the Spirit is one. It's just different manifestations of it. It's one that is really needed to be manifested in our lives when it comes to dealing with adversity and our trials and our tribulations. Now, the definition of meek, I'm going to go to the definition because I put that down here, is the blessing, the place of being powerful without taking action. It is a strategy maintained to achieve the highest level of spiritual success. Is being patient and mild, not inclined to anger or resentment. Someone or something that does not have to force, or someone who is willing to give in to others. And that is exactly who and one of the attributes of who Jesus was, being fully God and fully man. Jesus had a divine nature, and in his coming and establish the kingdom of heaven and preaching the gospel, he really displayed many of God's attributes and personality, one which was anger, which was a righteous indignation. Another was temperance, and one of them was meekness, which is what he expressed when he gave the invitation to those who he said were heavy and laden and burdened. In him revealing his nature, he says, come unto me, those who are heavy burdened and laden, and you shall find rest to your soul, for I am meek and lowly at heart. So meekness is one of the fruits of the Spirit that is needed to really be able to deal with the warfare that you're facing. And it's really dangerous when you are taught these warfare strategies based on ego, man's ego, and having an understanding of spiritual warfare. Because, again, our overcoming is going to be by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. And as the word of God also says, when a man's ways please the Lord, He'll make even his enemies be at peace with him. So we have to look at our ways. Our ways. And to make sure that we're not inciting the enemy. Because the word of God says, as well in James, resist the devil. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. So that doesn't mean that we don't face what's happening. It's facing that which we're facing according to the word of God and by the spirit of God and confronting those things in the spirit, not in the flesh. Now, another thing I want to do quickly is share with you some scripture that he gave me regarding replenishing, because in the meek inhabiting the earth, having dominion in the earth realm and being replenishers, he gave me Genesis, the first chapter, the 27th through 31st. And I'm just going to paraphrase this for the sake of time. We see this is in the beginning of creation, where he created male and female, where he gave them dominion, and he blessed them and gave them the charge to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion, which is what we all have. Now, this was before the fall of Adam and Eve, but yet this is the purpose of Jesus coming was to restore that dominion, to restore us in the earth realm that we can have the proper dominion, which will not come by force and violence. Although the word of God says, since the kingdom of God, set the violence, the violence take it by force. That force is by wisdom. That force is by the authority he's given us according to what he has delivered to us, which, again, is in Christ Jesus, because Jesus came to redeem all creation. It's not by force in violence because, again, Proverbs says, there's a way that seems right to the man, amen, but the end of ways of his death. So whatever we do, it should bring life and produce life. I also included Genesis 9, chapter 1 through 3rd verse, where it talks about Noah and his sons and his charge to Noah in being fruitful and multiply and replenishing the earth. And that dominion, glory be to God, that dominion, that power that God has given Adam and gave Noah and has given us, when it's healthy and of God, it will produce the fear of God and the fear of dread, which is what he said in the second verse. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon the fowl of the air and upon all them that move upon the earth, upon the sea, upon the fishes, the sea. Into your hands are they delivered. So in us dealing with our enemies, know that the enemy will fear us, and God will allow that fear to be upon our enemies regarding us, because he puts that there. The dread of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, which is his judgment. And that's why it's so important for us to walk in our authority and walk in in obedience to God's word, so that we can execute God's judgment and his watchings by what we speak and what we declare and by the power of binding and loosing. And that's the tactic of the enemy, is to try to make null and void our authority with this prodding and testing and baiting us and all this evil stuff. Is to try to render us useless, our authority useless, which is not going to happen if we stay in the Spirit and we continue to walk in the Spirit and manifest the fruits of the Spirit, which I'm going to get into quickly in Galatians, the fifth chapter. So I wanted to say that our enemies will be afraid of us, and God will allow our enemies and anyone to respect us when we are pleasing to him. He will defend our honor. He will defend our honor, and that's what he said to Noah. So I just wanted to touch on that quickly, because that's important to know, and identifying those who are truly operating from the authority of God, from dominion, It's not having this big, bad boss, as often say, beatitude, you know, in the flesh, operating from ego. It's not trying to intimidate people, using all these type of tactics to get them to recognize you and submit to you based on you. No, it's based on Christ. And if you have the Spirit of Christ and you're operating from the Spirit of God and holiness, it's the power that's invested in us. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us that reverence, give people that reverence for us. And as he told David, not a wicked man should stand before you. Now, I also want to include Psalms 37, the 10th through the 13th verse, because this is what he also says about the meek. I just covered replenishing and dominion that he gave Noah and what Christ gave us. But I want to include Psalm 37, 10 through 13 verse, where the psalmist says, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotted against the just, and gnashed upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him." Glory be to God. "The Lord shall laugh at him, for he see that his day is coming." So, you know, we're to keep the spirit of meekness and trust in God's salvation, trust in God's justice. Hallelujah. And know that your enemies, God's enemies, is going to get it in the end. Because he sees that his day is coming, because God created all things. And so, you know, him giving me this is reminding me of what he says about his justice. When God begins to laugh, that's a big whoa. It's a big whoa. Now, meekness is the fruit of the Spirit, as I've been saying. It is one of God's attributes and declares and reveals his sovereignty. Hallelujah, his sovereignty. Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 19th through the 23rd verse, Paul is making a clear distinction between what is of flesh and what is of spirit. And in him speaking to the Galatians, he said this: "I say then, walk in the spirit, and you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would." So, again, the flesh war against the spirit, and the flesh against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another. He said you cannot do the things that you would do if you are in your flesh. You're operating from the flesh. He goes on in verse 18, it says, "But if you are led the spirit, you are not under the law." This, again, operating out of the flesh puts you under the law, which is condemnation. He said, "Now the works of the flesh are made manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, which means false accusation." He said, "Envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such alike, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." So this is, he's speaking to the Galatians, those who are supposed to be quote unquote believers, that if you operate out of these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. In verse 22, which is the day of my birthday, 22, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So, in understanding that meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not. It's not. Does not mean weakness. And the enemy will prod us and rail on us when he thinks that because of our surrender, which is what Jesus did. Jesus, when he was dying on the cross of Calvary, he said, "I could call 10,000 of my angels to deliver me," but because he gave his life willfully for our sins, he didn't, because his dying was not about him. It was about us covering our sins and redeeming us from our sins and redeeming the whole world from their sin. Okay, he also gave me Isaiah the 29th chapter, the 17 through 19 verse, where he says again, it is not yet for a little while. So we have to remember that our suffering is for just a short time. And it might seem long to us, but in the eyes of God, our suffering is producing fruit. It's bearing fruit. He said, "Is it not yet for a little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as the forest. And in that day, shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness." So he's saying that the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. That means although you're in darkness, you'll be able to see and have light in that dark place. Verse 19 says, "The meek shall increase their joy in the Lord." Hallelujah. "And the poor among shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." So there's a lot more scriptures in the Word of God that speaks of meekness. I just wanted to add these few because, again, meekness is connected to our joy. It says, "The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord." Hallelujah. Because the joy of the Lord was the thing that gave us victory. Now, I wanted to include this prophetic expression as I was putting this together. What came in my spirit was, again, what Jesus said, that no man taketh his life, that he gave it freely. And no greater love that a man had, that he will lay down his life for his friends. So in our meekness, there is power. And Jesus being willing to die for our sins in the manner that he did by surrendering gave great power. I also want to include Colossians, because in being the elect of God, being the bride of Christ, being the sheep of his pasture, being his disciple, we must walk worthy of the vocation with which we are called. And that's exactly what he was saying in the book of Colossians, that if then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. He said, "Set your affections on things above and not things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye also appear with him in glory." He goes on to say, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." Our members, which is upon the earth, which means our earthly tabernacle, our bodies, which house the Holy Spirit, our soul, which house the Holy Spirit. He says, "Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, conspicuous, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God coming upon the children of disobedience." And that's it in a nutshell. The children of disobedience, God is angry with the children of disobedience all day long. He said, "The wrath of God shall be revealed from heaven upon the children of disobedience." But we are not the children of disobedience. We are of the New Testament. Now he goes on to say, in the which ye also walk some time. My confession, my sins, and give my life to the Lord, reconciled me with God and gave me peace with him. You know, I appeased his wrath when I accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He said, when ye lived in them. He said, but now ye also have put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, false communication out of your mouth. He said, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, which is God. He said, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, nor free, but Christ is in all. It's all and in all. He goes on to say, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. He says, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. So this declaration, exhortation, this part of the offering is to remind us of God's way, Christ's way. And he also said, he that's called to this warfare does not entangle himself with the affairs of this life, so that we may please him that called us. So, you know, my prayer is that you will remember her and will manifest and produce the fruit of the Spirit so that you can walk worthy of the vocation where you're called. Not only that, but be pleasing to the Lord. And also not create warfare, because a lot of people's ways and the warfare that comes upon a lot of people is because of their ways and this demonic engagement. Again, this whole offering speaks to, again, not just God's laughter, but it speaks to his justification of us at this time, his justice. And I can say that in my life, there's a lot of justice being rendered in the heavens and in the earth because of my enemies, the things that I've suffered for his name's sake. Things that have been done to me deliberately by those who say, Lord, Lord. And as the word of God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And so my stay is the word of God. My comfort is in the word of God. And although those things happen to me, I feel it in my persons, in my feelings, and in my emotions. You have to remember that we're in his image and his likeness, and that we have to go to God with those things, and we have to use our spiritual authority in casting down wicked imagination, and know that all those things proceeded out of the heart of man, which is wicked. So I'm rejoicing today. I'm rejoicing and praising and thanking God for victory. It's already been won. It's already been done. And we have to evoke the presence of God, evoke the cross, evoke his presence, his authority. We call forth the judgment of God, decree the judgment of God, pronounce the judgment of God upon those things and some those people by the Spirit, in the Spirit. This is the great time of God's justice, his judgment. And, again, depends on what side of the aisle you're on, where you'll be seeing the manifestation of that. And the good thing is, it's never too late to repent and turn. Hallelujah. Never too late to repent and turn and ask forgiveness and accept the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior so that you won't suffer the fate that he promised, which is eternal damnation. Amen. So that's all I have for today. Again, I want to thank you for being here with me on the Heavenly Host broadcast, and know that your angels are ready. They're prepared. They're waiting to assist you. All you have to do is call upon them. Know that the Lord Himself, Jesus, is set at the right hand of the Father ever to make intercession for us, and that we're more than conquerors. And Jesus already did the work. We just have to stay the course and put a hold on the whole armor of God and know that that greater is He than us, that He's in the world. And be not ignorant of Satan's devices. Be not ignorant, because one thing that I'm seeing as I close and I continue my life in the joy of the Lord is the thing that Jesus had to defeat it. He defeated it, which is the Pharisees and the Sadducees, those who are angry because they have been exposed. That retaliation because they were exposed by the light and by the true bride. So know that not only is our reward in heaven, but it's here in the earth for Him by God celebrating us and giving us the victory in our inheritance in this life, which He said would come with persecution. So I want you to know that you have to be spiritual and filled to the brim, flowing with the Holy Ghost, and that with a mighty burning fire. Amen. And you must also call forth the fire of God. Call it down. Call it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And know that we're more than conquerors in Him that loved us. In Him that loved us. Because love, again, is the victory. It really is. Stand in the love of God. Manifest the love of God. Express the love of God. And the love of God keeping us. With that, I bid you peace, blessings, and much love. I will be back tomorrow on Lisa Marie's Bride's Open Brunch. He gave me what he wanted me to minister on tomorrow, so I hope you will join me on Lisa Marie's Bride's Open Brunch. I usually don't give a time when I'm coming on. I just kind of just put it on. So usually my upload on my feeds is usually by 5:30. And being that it's Bride's Open Brunch, I want to get it on at least by 3:30. So I extend this invitation for you to join me on tomorrow, Lisa Marie's Bride's Lovely Brunch, right here on Blog Talk Radio, on the Stars of Heaven Network 9. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, your evening, and your rest in the Lord. Love ya.